All right, Cole. What are you doing this time?
Well, Gary, you'll see here that I have a Ouija board.
Ooh.
Yeah.
A Waluigi board?
Yes, it is a Waluigi board. It is shitty and only shows up in a couple of games. Yeah.
It's an upside down board.
let's put our hands on the planchette. It's under the table. So we're going to have to. Okay.
Good use of the lingo.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I listened to that episode of Stuff You Should Know. I'm good.
All right. We're on the planchette.
And I'm going to ask this question here of the spirits. Have we used a Ouija board as a randomization method before? Well, are you moving it, Gary? It's so spooky.
I'm sure I'm not.
No, me too.
Yeah, I don't know. All services point to I can't remember.
Yeah, it's all it's doing is pointing at, huh?
Yeah, sorry for the lack of context, spirits.
Yeah.
You should know that DuckFeed.tv is a podcast network that's listener-supported. Let me explain the concept of the show to you, spirits.
What's a podcast? I died in 1780.
Yeah, I know. I died in a shirt factory fire, you asshole. Yeah. Have fun with your audio games. You clearly eat enough to feed me for a year.
To somebody who died that long ago, we would be demented town criers. Like,
yeah. Just like the picture of opulence. Here in my working pants and my upright chair, like some kind of god king of the 20s.
Yes.
Okay. So it doesn't know that one. We should probably find something that's more up the spirit's speed.
Okay. What game are we playing?
Find a kid who died in 1996 okay. or 97. Let's see if we can find that.
Okay, Aiden. Aiden. Which one of you is an Aiden? Yep. I guess that would be more 2006. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. It says we're playing Casper the Friendly Ghost.
I don't know.
There's some redeeming qualities.
Yeah. It's interesting. We'll get to it. Before we do that, I am Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross.
And this is Abject Suffering, the show where we play bad games at your behest.
Yes. Why are you doing this to us? Kinda?
Yes.
Like, so that's something. Like, if Casper the Friendly Ghost is your favorite game, and you see, why is it on this feed? I love it. Well, no, like we are going in and doing our due diligence by playing a half an hour of it.
So. Yeah. And also, I mean, I guess, like, if that's true, if you are that mythical person where this is your favorite game, mm-hmm. You know, you're lucky that we'll probably talk about it more than we would in some other episodes. One, because it's kind of interesting. And two, because we've had so many episodes where I've just been like, who is this for? Like, why kids don't like cartoons from the 20s? What's happening? And then I did the research and found out it's based on a wildly successful movie.
Yeah. Ridiculously
that I barely
successful.
Remember.
One of the first and best examples of a major Hollywood film integrating CGI characters alongside regular human actors.
Yeah, it's like the Who Framed Roger Rabbit of its time.
Yeah.
In technology only.
Which, wow, what a step down in edginess. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yes, what a step down in everything.
Yeah. Well, it deals with a dead kid, so we're all good there.
Well, you'd think so. Like, I've always had some problems with Casper the Friendly Ghost. Like, okay. I feel like that concept doesn't have quite enough nuance to it. it's a little too on the nose, you know? Like I mean, I get, like, you get what you're getting. You know, like, you know what's going to happen when you read a story about a friendly ghost. Like, A is friendly, B is ghost.
Yes.
But they never created a C, D, or, you know, the entire alphabet of personality features that a character could have. Like, I get it. It's like the Itchy and Scratchy, like, that happy cat, you know, like, where it's just like, he sure is helpful and happy. Friendly. That's all we got.
All I'm picturing is like a version of the Munsters, where instead of a Frankenstein's monster and a vampire, it's all ghosts. And there's just, instead of having the beautiful woman, it's just who's the niece who doesn't fit in. It's just an alive person, and she's in a house all alone talking to herself.
As far as I can tell, that's what happens in the game. Like, I actually don't know, but like, it seems right. Even though I watched a YouTube and got to the end boss, and it's a witch that belches slime balls at you.
Oh, cool.
And has so much HP, like the boss battle, like the person who has the best time, there's no speed run, but the person who can beat this whole game with no saves or anything in 90 minutes. It took them like 15 minutes to beat this stupid boss.
Wait a minute. What? Just, like, just the one boss? This is a fucking Gigantor, like a Cactor?
it's just a witch. Oof. And I think she's probably a witch with too much HP. Yeah. But yeah, she makes a real cartoon, like, you know, Ren and Stimpy Vidiot's burping sound effect and shoots a slime ball at you.
Some real Silent Hill 4 patience. Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. Huh. Yeah, but I didn't get far enough to see any bosses, other than like the little duel you fight. Like, I fought a mini boss.
Yeah, the one of the three. I fought the fat one who was voiced by Brad Garrett.
Yeah, there's Fatty, Stinky, and Slimy. I think those are the three idiots you have to deal with, Casper.
You're fighting some dead Battletoads.
Yeah, exactly. All the Battletoads are probably dead by now. I don't know.
Toad's long dead. Like, yeah.
But I couldn't. I feel embarrassed about it because I found out about when I read up on it later, but I didn't realize you could use mirrors to transport. Mm-hmm. So for my game just ended when I got to a locked door I couldn't get past.
Me too.
And just kept going back and forth. But I guess those mirrors teleport you, which, like, that fictional listener who's just like, I love Casper, mm-hmm. is like pulling their fucking hair out, waiting for some hard hitting, you know, discussion of like mid game mechanics.
Yep.
And the plot twist of like, you get to a different hallway. But like, it'll never happen because I couldn't figure out, like, no buttons would do anything with the mirror.
Yeah, neither could I. I figured that the mirrors were just checkpoints because you respawn at them when you die.
Exactly. They already have a function. Mm-hmm. So like, I was like, but then when I looked online, everyone's like, oh, you can teleport. Not everyone. I looked online and the trending topic was hashtag teleport through mirrors in Casper. Yeah. It's like the national discussion really makes me feel like an idiot because I'm behind.
You didn't see that episode of Larry King last week? It blew the door wide open on those mirrors.
Not Casper. I could see Larry King like talking to Casper in an interview.
How can you be sure he isn't?
Yeah, exactly. He just thinks he's having it. Just, like, he's tired of getting grilled by his guest and wants to have a friendly guest.
Finally. Who's this we you're talking about? You, the mouse in your pocket, and the Casper on my shoulder?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so yes, I missed that as well, and consequently I only saw like five or six screens, but it was enough to get like a pretty good sense for how this is a little bit special, right? Like, there's some cool stuff happening here.
Hold on a second. Yep. Yeah, no, we don't have to put in a mark or anything. My cat's freaking out. He's on my lap, and he went, yeah, cat's like, I'm getting petted, and then out of nowhere, it's like, I hate you and we'll eat you alive. Like, he's got real mad for a second. I don't know why.
Yeah,
unusual for that guy, but yeah, it is a boy and his blob, mm-hmm. and is based on it is actually based on the A Boy and His Blob engine, mm-hmm. which I did not know. The entry on the cutting room floor, for this game is like pithily written in a way that I appreciate.
Cool.
And also let me know that let me read some text here from it. Casper is a ghost of a friendlier disposition. He can also morph into stuff. This game uses a modified version of A Boy and His Blob engine. That is something you now know. thanks, Cutting Room Floor.
It's like a reluctant book report.
Yeah, exactly. Also, check out this for an esoteric way to get the debug function.
Okay.
In order to get the debug function in Casper, after leaving the first room, you plug a super scope into the second player slot, and it gives you every item in the game in 5 lives. But you had to plug in a super scope.
Yeah, so it is hardware locked. It's like those USB keys they give you to unlock your workstation at a government black site.
It's super weird.
Huh.
It's A Boy and His Blob. Like, it's about your ghost, like, gaining the ability to take on different forms and using them to kind of indirectly help, like, a really angry-looking lady.
Yeah, I assume that's Christina Ricci's character?
Yeah.
Yeah,
she's just, like, playing What's Her Head Wednesday.
Yeah. Like, Christina Ricci just playing so hard into type. Like, you know, Sleepy Hollow was just, you know, was just 3 years down the road.
Defining characteristic.
Yeah. It's like, oh, let's just put her in these creepy gothic horror roles. Cool.
Yeah.
Which, she's fine. Like it. I like Christina Ricci. She's okay.
I think she's fine.
Yeah.
Like, she's fine. She's all right. But yeah, she's really playing the type here. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like you could make a cool game out of like indirectly guide this person by teleporting or transforming into nonviolent objects.
Yeah.
It's, you know, that's really cool.
It's a Pac-Man 2 and His Blob.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. That is really neat. And like, even though it was very early in the game, there was a real shocking lack of item variety. you know, that could have gotten better past the first Mia or whatever. And like all the little things that make up a game still suck. Like the hit detection's really bad. And like, you spend a lot of time just capturing plates. With a butterfly net.
Collecting your commemorative plates.
Exactly. Yeah.
This one has a duck on it.
And they turn into ectoplasm.
Yeah.
Somehow good.
To fuel the inscrutable health system. I couldn't quite figure that out.
Yeah. I had no idea when I would die or why I would die.
Yeah.
This. Also, like, what happens to Casper? Like, is there a Beetlejuice-esque, like, it's death for the damn dead? Like, you know, just, you know, lost souls room that we're not seeing here? Yeah. Like, what happened? Like, Casper's consequence free.
I know, right? Just, he has to just, like, come back. He has to gather enough spectral energy to resurface through the veil, right? Mm. I mean, is he seriously banished to the land of wind and ghosts? Like, does he have to not walk without rhythm?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I have no clue.
There's a lot to the mythology of this that I don't quite understand. But yeah, there's like a time limit. Like, you'll just be floating around trying to solve this puzzle. And Casper, make no mistake, he moves very slowly.
He does. He can fly and he can move through walls, which is semi-empowering.
Mm-hmm.
But he moves so slowly. And if you get too far away from Christina Ricci, she gets kidnapped by like Cruella de Vil.
Mm-hmm.
Like an evil Cruella de Vil character. Have you seen the movie?
Yes, but when I was really little.
Yeah, it seemed like you might be age appropriate, like where you could have seen it.
Yeah, it came out like the perfect age. I was like 8 years old when it came out.
Yeah.
And my parents took me to see it. It made a strong impression on me because I liked spooky stuff then as I like now. And it was a heartbreaking story about a man who was so obsessed with the dead because his wife had died, I think. And so he moved into this oh my gosh. I may just be making this up, but I might also just be describing a better story.
You're 100% making it up. Like, I read the description of what happened. That's not close.
Damn it. Like, okay. So I was just writing Casper fanfic.
Yeah, you're just reassociating on what... You're pitching a new Casper movie.
Yes, I was. Okay, so taking it back to what I actually do remember, at one point, Bill Pullman dies, and he has to make a choice between staying as a ghost because he likes being a ghost, because there's something about being a ghost where you forget your past life, or coming back and being with his kids.
Yeah, which is, you know, that's it. That's quite the Sophie's choice. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
It's actually like a greedy lady. Somebody dies, and a greedy lady who thinks she's going to get the fortune instead gets this, like, this estate.
Mm-hmm.
And goes there, and she's happy because there's treasure.
Oh, okay.
And like Casper falls in love with her daughter or her psychologist daughter or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like, what's your end game there, Casper? Like, so here's the thing, like, mixing a 2D, what's kind of weird is that like Casper doesn't look like a human at all.
No.
Like, imagine a flesh Casper. You know, like, he just like, I wish to be a real boy so I can marry Christina Ricci, and then just like phasing into his same basic shape.
Yep.
Like, he looked like a skink. Like, he looked like a skink slug, like, falling on the ground.
His head,
boneless, and like,
all he can do is just hiss.
Yeah. Like, you know, just his legs fused together and just like, it's like, I don't know what his end game is. Christina Ricci is never going to fall in love with you if you look like a fucking... You know, like a Cabbage Patch doll.
Is that part
you
of the
freak?
Yeah, stupid fuck.
You stupid freak.
Stupid ghost, learn better.
Yeah.
You have access to all the knowledge of the infinite void, and you're here with your puppy crush.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Just if you had infinite power as a ghost to like go everywhere, you would just immediately become the most depraved version of anything possible.
It's the Invisible Man story.
Yeah, exactly.
It's exactly. You know, you have that kind of, once you have the power to be consequence free, you become a bad person.
Uh-huh.
And it is a classic, you know, science fiction story.
Yeah.
Because like sexually, if I was a ghost, like, I would think I would resign. I don't think I would try to get anyone to fall in love with me because I was a ghost.
Uh-huh.
Like, I would just watch them masturbate and masturbate at the same time. Like, that would be my end game, I think.
Well, no, I think that the way that it works for ghosts is they can't masturbate themselves because they have no physical form, but they sap off of the energy of anything else. So anytime you masturbate or get off in the waking life, you're getting off like the billions of ghosts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, they're
like
gravitating
the hormone energy that's just flying out of you is just feeding into their crotch fronts.
Yeah. Yeah. And so what you have to do is you have to walk into a Faraday cage, okay? Start just cranking it so right. And then, like, when you're about ready to go, you jizz into the Faraday cage as you are backing out of it and close the door, because all of the cum ghosts will go in there, and then boom, you have these ghosts ready to power whatever infernal engine you need them for.
It's a lot. I think that's the actual underlying metaphor of Ghostbusters, because if you consider the proton packs, like, essentially just jazzing all over, just throw and spray. Yeah. And then the containment units, like, literally could just be like a box that one comes in to trap ghosts.
Yeah, you know, your cum box, like you keep, like you keep in the coat closet.
Yeah. Like on those fucking goon layer.
Oh, like, man. That. Yeah, it's where you keep your rainbow dash.
Yeah.
I made myself sad.
Yeah, and sick. But the idea of, like, a ghost watching me J.O., like, it's not weird. Uh-huh. And it's not hot. It's just fine. So, like, Casper, I think, would be fine with that. Like,
yeah,
you know, he should be fine with that. Christina Ricci should be fine with that. Like, I'm not trying to tell, like, if she's creeped out, which she's not. I think she probably comes to love him in some way. Like, they become a family. Like, there's some kind of good ending, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Does it end with Casper just, like, going to town on Christina Ricci?
he just flies up there, you know?
Yeah.
Spins around a little bit. Yeah,
he's just like, I can do things that no mortal can do for you, my dear.
Well, I mean, like that also has to be a classic ghost story, right? The lonely ghost who wants to kill people in order to have friends.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Like, I could see that, like, being, if they did a darker and grittier reboot of Casper, like, that's the trick.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's the thing with Casper the Friendly Ghost, is he's like, he's that story without a twist.
Uh huh.
He's like the ghost, the lonely ghost who wants to have friends to have friends. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't work that way, buddy. They're alive and you're not. Like, it's really about, like, recognizing, you know, like, there are certain things you can't change, mm-hmm. but how you're born into this world, Casper. Yeah. And this is one of them.
Yeah. In a way, it's a sweet story about people who are two different points in their life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, two, like, very different, like, points.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. I mean, you know, it could be, you know, you're past the center point or whatever, but there's a negative x-axis in this shit. Like, you can get dead.
You can get dead. It is statistically probable that you will get dead.
Yeah. What it, like, do you ever have, like, I never think about, as a non-religious person, I've never been scared of the idea of hell, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think of and, you know, like, movies that try to invoke that don't scare me, like, you know, The Exorcist and stuff. Like, I'm not scared of the devil.
Yeah,
I don't, like, care about a demon.
Yeah, so something about that, like, a straight up exorcist movie or exorcism movie requires you to, for the course of that 2 hours, believe in the Christian mythology or whatever.
Yeah.
Or I'm not going to call it mythology because I don't want to be insulting, but to believe in the trappings, right?
Yeah.
That kind of go along with that. I think the only exorcism movie that's ever actually, like, worked for me has been, like, The Exorcism of Emily Rose. But that's more because, like, it's in question, right? And it's more of a thriller and drama. It's not like The Exorcist, which is disturbing, but more in, like, an off-putting and, like, this is just unpleasant to be around.
Like, a little girl, like, asking to have sex with an old man, like, under coercion is off-putting, but it doesn't make me scared of the devil. But, like, I would be scared if when you die, you do become, like, a ghost and they're just, like, you know, full of, like, consequence-free assholes. Like, imagine, like, it's just, like, that's your world now, is people, some of which who have been alive for thousands of years in this world, but have no sense of consequence or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I just imagine, like, these, like, little islands where people who are freshly dead, like, try to maintain some semblance of civilization, and then just, like, the roaming bands of people J&O. Like, just, like, you know, they just, like, you know, hide under the fucking, you know, under the ground while just, like, a band of jerking off madmen just, like,
coming out, like, to commune.
That's fucking insane.
Yeah. Well, like what you're describing is, what's it, the fucking second Harry Potter book where we're Myrtle.
I am?
Yeah. It's a minor plot point. Like, you know, there are ghosts in Hogwarts. Forgive me. It's also been like 15 years since I've read a Harry Potter book. But there are ghosts in Hogwarts. And like, Myrtle's about ready to celebrate her death day or whatever, which is the anniversary of the death. And they're trying to maintain their humanity to stave off the death madness by putting out this really, like, rotten, awful food, with the idea being that the stronger the sensory input is, the more that they can kind of, like, pretend to feel it. So it's like big banquet plates of rotten food in order to, like, feign it still being alive.
I think fondly on those books, but I don't remember that.
Like, yeah.
But to be fair, like the second one is my least favorite.
It's all right. Like it definitely pales in comparison to number three.
Well, and like further ones too. Like I think the because the second one is like, here's some more, you know, and then like later the things start getting real.
Yeah.
And the first one has the novelty, I guess.
The centerpiece of the second one is that there is a basilisk in the women's restroom.
Yeah, I guess that, you know, that's pretty rad.
Yeah, but that's like a fucking Goosebumps plot. Like, yeah, exactly. That's the title, Basilisk in the Bathroom.
Yeah.
An R.L. Stine tale. Choose your own scare.
I would be into it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. So ghosts in popular media. Yeah, I think that there's a lot of thematic resonance, but I don't know. That there are lots of people who believe in that, which I can't get my head around. Like, I will have conversations with my family, you know, who have worked in the Ohio State Reformatory, which is a favorite of those ghost hunter shows, and say like, oh, I've seen X, Y, or Z, and you feel like a dick saying, well, that can't possibly be because, you know, it's silly. It's like, well, no, you actually experienced that and you believe it. I wasn't there. I'm just the asshole who's trying to harsh your mellow. And it doesn't hurt anybody if you believe in that. So
here's what it is for me. Like what I run into, cause I'm the same way. Uh-huh. Like I want to tell you is that when people feel like that, like I always feel like they have too much confidence in themselves and their senses. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, any kind of basic, you know, if you spend any time paying attention to like cognitive, what's the word?
The cognitive biases.
Biases and stuff like that. Like any amount of education is you moving on a scale towards not trusting yourself.
Yeah.
You know, like at a certain point, and then emotionally too, like I've learned many times over that like the me of yesterday is not to be trusted. And mm-hmm. I have no idea what the me of tomorrow is.
Yeah.
You know, like I can hope. Mm-hmm. But like, and I partly say this as like a divorced man, like you don't get divorced, you don't get married thinking you're going to be divorced, but mm-hmm. there we were, you know,
yeah.
It's just like you people change. And I also think that like, once you introduce this idea of like a subconscious, like everything's out the window mm-hmm. and I can't trust anything I see, think, or feel.
Yeah.
You know, like it could be due to any number of things. So like, even if I was sure, like I saw a fucking thing, I would be like, it probably wasn't real. I can talk about the experience. Mm-hmm. Like I was really scared. It looked like this. Mm-hmm. It was, I don't want to go there again because I have this emotional reaction, but yeah. I wouldn't be like, no, it's real. Ghosts are real. Here comes the, you know, the websites. Like,
look at a picture of an orb. Yeah. Like yeah, exactly. It wouldn't be like, that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or Cottingley fairies or whatever.
Yeah. 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 And you know, it just think about this. At one point I saw a film called Casper, the Friendly Ghost, but in the intervening, 20 years, I created another version of that, which, you know, you can't argue that it did that. I didn't experience it.
Well, totally. Like there's the whole thing with, whatever that journalist guy was recently, Brian Williams or Dan Rather or whatever, the guy who, was in a helicopter next to a helicopter that got shot.
Yeah, yeah.
And remembered being in a helicopter that got shot. And like people were like, yo, call for his resignation and flipped out. But like really we do that all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone does it. Like you misremember things constantly. Mm-hmm. And just because there's a difference between like lying, willfully lying, and just saying a thing that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And there's a really good podcast called You Are Not So Smart.
Yeah.
Have I talked that up to you?
Yeah. Yeah.
And they did a really good episode on misremembering,
mm-hmm.
Where we talked about that because it is, you know, it's like he asked the lady and he's like, you know, what percentage of memories are false or you know, suspect? And she's like, 100,
mm-hmm.
you know, like it is literally like you construct this past and it has no basis necessarily on what, I mean, it has a basis, but it has no 100% verisimilitude to what actually happened.
Because the memory of the thing is not the thing, just like the picture of the thing.
Yeah.
Like there's a whole like branch of just intolerable horseshit you can get into about subjectivity by talking about that. But like confabulation is totally a thing that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not intentional, right?
Yeah, exactly. And like, so, you know, the same way that I can't remember how we got into this. I was going to tie you back into you saying that you saw Casper. That's not how we got into this. Oh, I was going to real quick anecdote. Speaking of divorce, my ex wife used to tell this story of her being at a KFC in high school.
Okay.
And they're getting a bucket of chicken and finding a feather on it. And like, I was like, you know, here's the thing. Like, yes, that may have happened, but it was like a prank from somebody. Mm-hmm. Backstage thing, because the way that KFC processes chicken, there's no way feather could survive that
right
process, you know? And she was just like, no, that's what it was. I was like, you know, you're trusting too much. Like you, mm-hmm. you know, it, like it could have happened if you actually didn't Oprah memory this, you know, mm-hmm. if you didn't make it up, which is fine. Like, I'll believe you because we're married and we haven't gotten divorced yet, but like, the, I'll believe you because we haven't been divorced yet. I always make a habit of believing my first wife is what I should have said, but the,
oh God.
But at the same time, like it doesn't, you know, like this thing that you remember about it being like, she had this like whole memory about it being like, I don't eat there because that can happen. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, you know, it definitely can't. Or like, she was like, the feather was attached. And I was like, well, no, like there's just no way that like a chicken leg is going to come out with one perfect chicken feather on it.
Yeah. Like the leg
from
is
a deep fryer.
Yeah.
Like it just, you know, like that is so far away from an actual feather. Like mm-hmm. it just can't happen, you know?
Yeah. There are multiple different things in between what this thing used to be and what this thing now is.
I speaking of which, real quick, like I love when somebody makes that kind of claim in a lawsuit,
yeah.
and the lawyers for a company are forced to come out and be like, "No, our product is too processed and toxic for that ever to work." Like, you didn't find a mouse in a Mountain Dew. Here's actually what happens when you leave a mouse in a Mountain Dew: its flesh fucking falls off in like a matter of 2 days.
Well, that's also a weird story because alongside that, like it's really funny to laugh at Mountain Dew because Mountain Dew is a suspect product. But somebody came out and showed that the same thing would happen in a jar of tomato juice.
Exactly, right? Like you shouldn't take it and be like, you know, this means Mountain Dew is toxic. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, you know, you were never meant to soak in Mountain Dew for 2 days.
Yeah.
You know, like, but it's just funny. Like, I love it when they're just like, no, that couldn't happen. But also you could still drink Mountain Dew if you want. Even though, you know, I don't know if that's, I'm not gonna tell you what to do with your life.
Yeah. I mean,
if you're chowing down on a Mountain Dew right now, listen to this. That's fine.
If you're drinking a Mountain Dew, cool. I hope that it's like the one you've had today. Awesome. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope you enjoy it.
Yeah. Like right now I am drinking a sugary beverage, but it is like an Australian ginger beer.
Oh, so, I love a ginger beer, man. Yeah. I miss ginger beer.
Yeah. Bundaberg. It is. Yeah. It is very, yeah, it's very costly, but I felt like treating myself.
Yeah, it's good shit.
Yeah. Hmm. I'm going to take a drink of that right now.
What you drinking?
Yep, a little bit. Right. Sorry.
I'll see if I can get the theme song from Teenage Dirtbags.
Yeah.
No. Slowly start integrating.
Just until it's all one big podcast collision.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I just I looked at it and I talked about it and I had to take a drink of it because it is delicious.
Yeah, the ginger beer is great.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. People make stories. Like that's what we do. Like that is that is the primary human mode of existence, is constantly coming up with a narrative that we that both explains the world around us and explains us to the world around us. Like, I'm being super fucking intolerable here, but that is the only way that I can account for ghost stories, which they're really cool to hear about, like when people tell them well. Right.
Yeah.
Like a well-told ghost story is like, oh wow, that's super creepy. Like, I'm not going to discount any horror that is derived out of this, but yeah
I like the idea of ghosts just fine, even though like typically I need something more to spook me out. Good.
Yeah
you know, like it's hard for me just to be scared of ghosts, just because
it's like the idea of a ghost. Yeah,
it has to be some kind of monster or something. Like, yeah. I need my Babadooks more than I need my Paranormal Activities. You know, that's supposed to be a demon, but like, is it like, oh no, it might open a door. Like, you know,
cool. I was trying to get to that room anyway.
Yeah, that's convenient. Like, that happens all the time if I go to a store.
Yeah,
you know, and not scared of it.
So here's kind of a question. While we're in the philosophy section of this, I'll change the category on iTunes later. Do you ever wish you could believe?
I wish, yes.
Yeah.
I wish that at any given moment I were happier.
Mm-hmm.
And as I've gotten older, the cost of that gets less daunting in this respect. Like, I've gotten less and less like, well, who cares about these fucking sheeple? Like, I get my integrity from intelligence.
Yeah, no,
you
that's
know?
Not, yeah.
Yeah, I've gotten less and less sympathetic because I was that asshole for, you know, like high school and just after high school. Mm-hmm. But I gave that up. And now, I approach death, I start thinking like,
Jesus. Okay.
I start thinking more and more that like, in the end, the amount of time I spend on Earth happy versus unhappy is all that's really going to matter.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean like going full on fucking, what is it? you know, just drinking myself to death or heroining myself.
Yeah, you know, it's not going to be like a hedonistic escalator.
Yeah, hedonism is what I want. Like, because I want to be here for a while too. Like, I want a good ratio and a good amount of happiness, happy time on Earth, and that's what I want.
Yeah.
Like, to me, like, as I get older, the day-to-day stuff, it just matters a lot more to me. Like, what am I actually spending my time doing? You know, as opposed to, like, am I keeping this principle? And I take joy from principled behavior. It's not like, you know, I'm into being a shithead. Because I don't think I am a shithead. I do take some joy in being, you know, behaving ethically. But, you know, like, ethics is a charged word in this post-August environment. But, like, the... you know, behaving like a, you know, a good, what I consider to be a good person.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. So yes, I do wish that I had a sense of that kind of like belonging and happiness and security, but I don't think I can construct it. Like, I don't think that's how it works at all.
Yeah. Like, you know, you can't force yourself into it. And there's bad implications of like, oh, you are what you pretend to be or whatever. And you know, when I said believe, I'm not talking about like, oh God or whatever. I'm just thinking like specifically ghosts.
But I was thinking of God, like, specifically, not because I think, you know, think of it necessarily as a ghost, but just because that is the thing that I would wish. Like, believing in ghosts and stuff, like, I don't know if I wish that. I don't think that would make me happier. Most people I know who believe that kind of stuff are just, like, more skittish.
Yeah, that's and the more thing, annoying, too. Yeah.
Like, because they talk about it.
Yeah, like if you go whole hog into believing this, the people that I've seen who are really into it tend to have it affect their behavior in ways that it really ought not to, and it becomes a justification for unhealthy behaviors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the kind of a catch-all excuse not to do anything.
Oh, yeah.
They don't, you know, if they don't, like... That becomes a thing too. Like, I've known people who are very superstitious who are just like, I just don't do that.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, all right, I guess we won't go to the museum because you don't want to get on a public transit.
Yeah. Well, at that point, it's just anxiety.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Which is fine. Like, you can be anxious, but like dressing it, I mean, I guess if it makes you happier, dress it up as something,
but
it's just, who knows what made what happen, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I suppose it's cogent because any belief in ghosts implies that, oh, there must be something more going on. Yeah.
Yeah. To me, like if
like,
I were
like
going to.
One follows. Yeah.
Exactly. To me, the worst case scenario would be like, I believe in ghosts and demons and shit, but don't believe in God.
Yeah.
You know, like it's just like, we're just fucked and there's just invisible and tangible monsters everywhere and nothing like that. That's too bleak even for me. Like, you know, it's like that would be the worst of both worlds. Like,
yeah. So okay, there's more than we can see, but also there is no benevolent guiding hand creating a system of rules by which this all works. There's just a whole bunch of jacking off hedonists who are swarming around people's crotches like flies. Okay, exactly. Cool.
People are smaller back then. Crotch-sized. That would be plum if you were a jacking off hedonist ghost and like you died when people were 3 feet tall or so, because you would just be like crotch level at any given time. But you could just like phase your eyes through a skirt and then just like.
Under this mechanic, do ghosts have to like hitch rides on cars?
I wonder.
Yeah.
Yeah, because a ghost had to in the movie Ghost, right? Like, he didn't have to take the subway to get places?
Yeah, I think he did. Although that might have just been habit. Again, like, that's pretty cool. I like the idea of a ghost going through the motions again.
Yeah, we don't have to talk about this now. Someday they'll make a ghost video game. We can talk about how, like, Ghost is actually full of pretty cool ideas.
Oh, yeah.
Like, for being a pretty shitty movie that is a punchline. Like it is a bunch of really cool ideas about the afterlife.
Yeah. One of my favorite Whoopi Goldberg performances, actually.
Yeah. Like in that it's not terrible. Like it's not fucking really obnoxious.
Yep.
She's so weird. She used to be this like very edgy and respected comedian, which I always forget about. And then like now it's just like, oh, it's Guinan and Sister Act. Like, it's, you know, just like this toothless, very broad comedian.
Yeah.
So, and the Guinan parts of Star Trek are always like, that's like, okay, now it's time to go. Use the bathroom. Guidance on the screen.
Yep. Gotta go.
Yeah. Hmm. Anywho, who suggested this?
This was Sam Baer.
Hey, Sam.
Yeah, hey, Sam. Thank you. This was one of the early ones, too.
No, it wasn't from the... Like, but the next one's probably one of the more...
Oh, yes. This next one is from the most recent Baer Storm.
Yes. Baer Storm.
Yeah.
So thank you, Sam. Go fuck yourself.
I guess.
And yeah, well, you know, like probably he's building up a case for fucking himself eventually. What are we doing next time?
Next time we are playing a game for the DOS operating system called Ganja Farmer.
Oh, cool. Okay. looking forward to that. I have played Ganja Farmer.
I hope so, because we're going to talk about it.
So thanks. If you want to suggest things, if you go to the www.duckfeed.tv/abject suffering, there's a little drop down there. You can suggest whatever you like.
Yeah. And we really appreciate that. We have lots of them. As a reminder, those are chosen at random when we pull them up. So if you recommend something, it's not like you are at the back of the queue. It could come up in the next crop, you know?
Exactly. And it's cool that, like, I love this DOS archive thing because, like, it's easy to emulate.
Oh, yeah.
So there's this whole world of just shit.
Yep.
Like 2,000 shitty games were just dumped into our lap.
Yeah.
So good on you. Archive.org. What else can people do if they want to help out? Cool.
Ratings and reviews on iTunes. Actually, I know every single podcast, especially ones in our network, we talk about them. There's been a huge kind of rising tide across the network because of recent events with, you know, Bonfire Side Chat and everything. And I want to see some of that spill over into success for this show as well. So if you haven't yet, you can go there and leave us a rating or review. It is tangible. Usually whenever a review shows up on a show, it bumps up or shows up in the ratings or pops up in the what's hot and the new and noteworthy stuff. So that does have I can't figure it out. I can't tell you exactly how it works, but it does have an effect.
Yeah, let us get out of the terrible what's not section of iTunes.
Yes,
because right now it's all, you know, cereal and I don't actually know what popular podcasts are. They're still doing that, right? They haven't murdered the guy yet.
There's a spinoff podcast something, but the victim's family is really angry. Yeah,
what is the spinoff called? Orange Juice.
Whoa! Yeah, it's got an app called fry an egg
muffin.
It times the, your egg frying to make sure it doesn't.
Yeah,
Gary, what was that?
So please rate and review us. We appreciate it, and stay tuned next week.
Yeah, Umbasa
or Casper.